Relationships, amen. In fact, we are affected by relationships every day, and others are affected every day, either positively or negatively, by the relationship they have with us. We are created for relationships. Thus, our theme is life is all about investing in relationships. Amen. Now, last week, Pastor Kelly preached on investing tips for youth. Now, you'll notice a sermon note sheet in your order of service. Could you tell me what our topic title is for this Lord's Day? Amen. Investment tips for parents and grandparents. All right, saints, let's take a moment and pray. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We praise you for the gift of relationships, for your love, and for the privilege of loving you and loving those you have graciously given to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak now. And Lord, may we have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and Lord, the determination to go forth and live out your word and what we hear this day. May we be not just hearers of your word, Lord Jesus, but go forth being doers as well. For your glory and for the blessing of we, your people, we pray. And we thank you in your mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Saints, parents and children, we should be heartily aware of how valuable our relationship is. Parents, our children are precious. They are a precious gift. All parents say, precious gift. Amen. No matter how you may be feeling at the moment, our children are a precious gift, amen, from God. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from God. So parents, your family is your greatest capital, all right? So if you could get some investment tips on how to grow it in quality, would you be interested? All right, praise God. Well, here we go. And we hold in our hands a treasure of investment strategies for growing our family relationships right in the Word of God. Praise God for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Well, frankly, we parents oftentimes frustrate our children as much as they frustrate us. That's why Paul reminds we parents, Colossians 3:21, especially fathers in this passage, not to embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Amen. And then children also have a responsibility toward their parents. Pastor Kelly really did a wonderful job teaching us last week. In Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor, respect your father and your mother. And Proverbs 23, 22 says, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. Amen. The saints, I don't believe that parents or children are happy when there's tension between us. Amen. Neither one of us are happy. How many have heard of a generation gap? There's this generation gap. There may be generational differences, amen, but we parents and we children alike need to keep in mind that we are not each other's enemies. We are not each other's enemies. We are bound together as family. We are family. All right. Amen. I want you to just high-five whoever's next to you and say, we are a team. We are a team. We're not enemies. We are a team. We're on the same team. The same team. Hallelujah. Now, to remind us of that, if you look in your notes, the New Testament emphasizes over and over and over how we are to relate to one another. So I want us to look there in our notes. And the first says what? We are to love one another. The second says we are to be kind to one another. Then we're to bear with one another. Then we are to encourage one another. Amen. Then we're to forgive one another. And then we're to accept one another. Amen. And saints, there are actually over 50 of such exhortations emphasizing our responsibility toward one another as a family. So So I want you to look at your neighbors and your family around you and again say, we're on the same side. We're on the same side. We're on the same side. On the same side. Now, if you would look in your notes, let's read that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 together. And we'll be reading today's New International Version together. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now in you also. Amen. Saints, we get from our text today another glimpse of Timothy's family from this pastoral letter written by the Apostle Paul. Now, Timothy's story was an ordinary story. We see it in verses 18 and 19. And what we do know about Timothy is very interesting. We know from the book of Acts that Timothy was raised in an interfaith family, with his mother being Jewish and his father was a Roman pagan soldier. All right. We know from 2 Timothy 1:5 that Timothy learned about God and Jesus from his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice. We also know from 2 Timothy 3:16 that Timothy was taught about the Word of God as a very young child, that his mother and his grandmother had taught him from the Word of God as far back as he could remember. Parents, we have been given a very precious gift, a very precious responsibility to teach our children the Word of God, to teach our children the promises of God upon which they can stand to make it victoriously through this life and then on into eternity to be with the Lord forever. So we have this precious responsibility to teach them to be obedient to God's Word. Amen. So they could receive the blessings that God desires to shower upon their lives. Hallelujah. I want us to take a moment and look at a dad who is teaching his daughter the Word of God. He is teaching her to put it on her heart that she might walk in the wisdom of the Lord. So let's look at this dad.
And oh, well, I'm doing the Bible
verse. Okay, good.
Why don't you look in the camera?
Oh, okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be alone. He makes me lay down in green branches. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, feel no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now my head, you anoint my head with oil. Surely, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness will follow me all the days
surely
of my
goodness
life.
Surely, goodness and love.
Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I just love that little girl. Could you guess which verse was her favorite verse? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Praise God, saints. We are to teach our children the Word of God. Amen. Now, Timothy's story is an ordinary story. And there are thousands and thousands of ordinary stories all around us. In fact, there's so many ordinary stories right here today. Stories of parents who have been faithful in teaching their children the Word of God, bringing them to pioneers, bringing them to life sharing, bringing them to church, taking them to Bible quizzes and participating, coming out for Princess and the Kiss, coming out for True Love Waits. You've been so awesome. Pastor Rick and I just applaud you as we just watch you parent and how you just take your kids to games. Could you all pull up a picture that I brought with me to church today? One person, and so many, I could just be here for the rest of the day just talking about all of you all. But one parent, Vicki Grimm. You know, Vicki, she's at the school just as much as the teachers are with her. And she helps out. And then by the end of the summer, you all see how dark Vicki is? Well, that's because she's been out on the baseball field with her girls doing all them softball practices. We've come a few times, Vicki, but you are some trooper. But we've got Walter and his team, his girls, just all of you, how faithful you all have been, and we celebrate you all today. Can I have the picture that I brought today? This is one of my favorite pictures, and I think it represents all you all. This was a game that Samantha, she was a cheerleader, and it was Parents Day. And this is one of my favorite pictures of Pastor Rick and Samantha. But it represents all them games he was at. Amen. Yeah, he never missed a one. Hallelujah. And so this represents all of you all today, all of us, the faithfulness of parents. Amen. So we nurture our children in the love and word of God, but we also go to piano recitals, dance recitals. We're taxi cab drivers, bus drivers. We stay up waiting for them to come home on their date. We do all kinds of things. Amen. Being a parent is hard work, saints. Being a parent is hard work. Hallelujah. And I didn't realize how hard it was until I myself became a parent. Amen. Amen. I could see, whoa, I didn't know it was this hard. Amen. Parents, you work so hard and you do so much day in and day out. And you are so much special people who deserve more thanks than this world could ever say. Praise God. Children, I would like for us to just give a praise offering to our parents. Could you just do that right now? Thank God right now for our parents. Amen. And not just the parents who are here. We've got parents right here with your children right now. But for those of us, I thank God for my mom and dad today. Amen. When I think about them, oh, I say, thank you, mother. Woo! Thank you, dad. Hallelujah. I was sharing with the lay pastors yesterday the sacrifices that we don't realize how much our parents are really making for us. I had so many surgeries and braces growing up, and if we didn't have insurance, my parents paid for those expensive braces, and I had to go in. I had a backward bite, and I had to go in, and they had to cut out teeth and dig out teeth and put in these all kind of things I had in my mouth. But I was so upset with my mother to keep making me go in and have these surgeries. I felt like my teeth were all right. You know, I could make it with them. And my dad thought so, too, once he saw the bill. He said, I think her teeth look pretty good. But he went on and cooperated with her, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't gung-ho. So she was determined. She was going to help fix my teeth and straighten them around. And I remember one time, I didn't realize, you know, I went to the dentist so much. And as a matter of fact, all my teeth are filled except for these front four, maybe. You know, I just had some soft teeth. I got my dad's teeth because he had his all pulled by 40. So I had these soft teeth. But she would take me in, and this one time we went, and I didn't know I was having surgery that day. And so I got in. I thought just going to look at my teeth, and we would be out, you know, have ice cream or something. All of a sudden, amen, they put this sheet over me, and I'm like, oh, what's fixing to happen here? Before I know it, put out, and then I had surgery that day. When I woke up, I was mad as a wet hen. I was so mad at my mother. For she made a decision to not tell me that time I was going to have surgery because I was already acting up about it. And so I was so upset with her that when we went out to the dentist's office, I wouldn't even walk with her. She was back there. I was just walking here. I wasn't going to walk with her. And the only reason she caught up with me was because the elevator wouldn't come soon enough. All right. So she caught up. I was acting real ugly. And then I began to think about, wow, she had me acting ugly on one end. She had my dad acting ugly on the other because he didn't want to pay the bill. And then here she was in the middle trying to make my smile the best smile it could be. And now I have a beautiful smile. But it was because of the sacrifices of my parents. It was them. My parents paid for me. I took 4 years of German in high school. And our last year, made a trip to go to Germany. And I know I didn't have any money. Hallelujah. But my parents sacrificed so that I could be right up there with my other classmates. I was the only black in our class those 4 years. She paid. And she convinced my dad once again, because he's like, she could read about Germany, you know. But amen. Amen. So thank God for our parents, because it is hard work. Amen. Now, saints, every generation throughout human history has struggled with its own version of the generation gap between children and parents. Parents say, well, the problem with kids today, they have no respect. They don't have no sense of responsibility, no sense of sacrifice. They want it then, right now. And at the same time, our kids are rolling their eyes, whispering to each other, Mom and Dad, they really, really need to get with the times, don't they? Oh, they need to get with it. Our younger children, they look differently, they dress differently, they embrace new technologies. Look like they're born with a cell phone in their hand and a computer mouse. I mean, they just come out smart, you know, and they're filled with new dreams and ideas. And they can tend to disregard the wisdom of we parents, amen? They figure parents and grandparents just don't understand. And as a result, parents and grandparents, we tend to feel unappreciated by our children. I think Mark Twain's comments about his father best sum up the generation gap. Mark Twain says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I couldn't hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Hallelujah. He just didn't get it, did he? I'm realizing that one of the challenges for we parents and grandparents is to help our younger people see the bigger picture. See the bigger picture of God's plan and purpose for their lives. To prosper them, to give them a hope and a future. To help them make wise decisions that they won't regret later on in life. So, saints, if we're going to do that, parents, we must communicate. Everybody say communicate. We must communicate. We must connect. All right? We must connect. Now, I would like for you to put on a video for me that is about parents trying to connect, Carlos, with their children. Amen. Here are parents trying to connect.
Johnny, we need to talk. I put this off far too long. You kids are in such a hurry. But when a man and woman consummate their physical relationship in the context of marriage, it is a beautiful thing. True love waits, Johnny. True love waits. Cherish your gift. Cherish it.
Nicole, we need to talk.
Please try to do it at the right time. This didn't seem like that was the best time to be trying to connect. Amen. Amen. But what they were saying was mighty good. Amen. Amen. We need to connect, communicate, love, love. Now, how many remember the song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? All right, that would be our generation. How many of the younger people know that? Brian, do you know that song? Oh, you just waved your hand. All right. Mostly it's our generation, parents, who know that song. I heard a remix of it, hallelujah, and it was written for parents, and it was entitled 50 Ways to Say I Love You, all right? And so I'm just going to share just a little portion of that remix that I heard. The problem's not that they don't hear just what you say. They just seem to see things different ways. Just try these simple things, I'm sure you will agree. There must be 50 ways to say I love you. Oh yes, 50 ways to say I love you. Pat him on the back, Jack. Just give him a hug, Doug. It's not just what you said, Fred. It matters what you do. Drop down on your knees, Lee. Listen patiently. That's all you got to do, Lou. Tell them I love you. Oh, yes, there is 50 ways to say I love you. Oh, yes, 50 ways to say I love you. Oh, yes, 50 ways to say I love you. Amen. Amen. I like that version better than the first one. Amen. But now, parents, even with more than 50 ways of saying I love you, there are times when conflicts do arise. Amen. Hallelujah. And obviously, during conflict, there are differing opinions and differing solutions that come to the surface when discussing the issue. And when conflict arises, saints, relationships get strained. All right, it gets a little tight around the house. Amen. And it's good for us to know that then God is the only one who sees the big picture. Amen. So parents, we got to turn to God. We have to turn to God in prayer. No matter what decision it is you're making, turn to God in prayer. Ask God to help you bring light to solution that will be life-giving and beneficial for you and for your children. And saints, we got to turn to God's Word. How many know God's Word is our lamp and our light and offers us strength and guidance? Amen. So if we learn to lean on God's Word and practice the principles and precepts in God's Word, they will make our families relationally wealthy. All right, I want us to look at our notes for today, and I've got just a couple tips jotted down. And let's looking at the first tip. What is the tip number one? Understand each other. Understand each other's word. Now, did I hear you say, is this how you're feeling? You know, trying to understand the meaning of our children's words. Well, how do we develop an understanding spirit? Parents, we do it by making the time. Making the time, families, to really get to know each other. And by making it a point to really, really listen to each other. Now, I believe it was Yogi Berra who said, you can hear an awful lot just by listening. Amen. Now, James 1:19 states that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So, parents, I don't know of any child that would be upset by a parent who was really quick to listen to them. Amen. So let us listen. What's the next tip? Keep commitment. Now, it's been said that we should be generous with praise. Amen. With encouragement. But we should be cautious with promises. Parents, we need to do everything we can to keep promises that we make to our children. You said you're going to do something, then do it. You promised to take them here, unless something happens, then you can explain, you know, really, really, this is what happened. But if you make a promise, do everything you can to keep your promise. Now, why is keeping our commitments and our promises so important? Because we all tend to construct our hope around promises. We go to the Word of God. We're standing on that. Those promises, our hope is in those promises. If I tell you something, I said, I'm going to do this, you're hoping that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. So all of us tend to hope around promises. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5 says, so when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make. It is better to say nothing than to promise something that you don't follow through on. Now, saints, we can infer from this text that the same holds true for our commitments to others as well. In other words, we are to be loyal to one another. Loyal. Proverbs 3, 3 and 4 says, never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them down in your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will gain a good reputation. How many know some of us parents need a good reputation with our kids? We didn't broke so many promises. we don't have a good reputation. But when we keep our commitment, it builds trust. Because there's no such thing as a healthy relationship without trust. We have to trust in order to have a healthy relationship. Trust is the firm foundation upon which a family is built. But keeping commitment can be costly. Hallelujah. Amen. I can remember one game. And in fact, it was the game that Pastor Rick and Samantha, my favorite picture of them. I was at that game, and I was looking so forward to it. I had promised Samantha I was going to be there. And I, my beeper went off before halftime, because halftime was when we were going to do it. And I was a chaplain at St. Vincent Charity, earning some units in clinical pastoral education. And I'm like, oh, we have a half an hour to get there. I'm like, is it really a bad emergency? I called them. They said, someone has been killed, someone is dying, and we need you to get in here. So it was like, oh, all right. So I had to leave, and I had promised Samantha I was going to be there. But I wasn't there because of this other commitment. And so I apologized profusely, which she accepted graciously. But, you know, if we can keep our commitments, we need to keep our commitments. Amen. So I always just imagined myself in that picture, too, because I really did want to be there. But sometimes our children will understand, you know, sometimes they will. Amen. We'll say, come on, y'all. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, Principal Flowers at Empire has graciously allowed Greg Tosper and I to come in and direct the gospel choir. So we practiced for months, and it's the day of our program. So the kids are like, the parents can't see, but they're peeking in the auditorium trying to see if their parents are out there in the auditorium. You should see them just trying to see. Wonder, you know. So, now the ones who see their parents in the auditorium, when we come in, this is what how they look. The ones who've seen their parents, grandparents, aunties, they come in like this. That's how they come in. Because they're happy. Their parents kept their commitment. They're there for them. It's a statement of love. It's a statement of commitment. And so it's just wonderful. And then we've got some Empire parents here who are always there at the program. And praise God for you. Praise God for you. But they just come in so happy when they see their family. Amen, Miss Flowers. Amen. Oh, so you can be assured that when your child sees you, they are happy. And when they don't, that they're not happy, because they want you to be there. Amen. They want you. So we parents have to instill into our children the importance of keeping commitments. Now, parents, I just want to ask us this question today. You got any commitments today needing to be kept? All right. All right. Praise God. Let your time and attention reflect that. Praise God. All right, what's our third tip, saints? Give some respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T is not something that just Aretha Franklin wanted. Amen. We all want some respect. We all want to be loved and appreciated. Amen. Hallelujah. And really, respect is also what our children want from we parents. They want us to take them seriously. They want us not to write off their ideas and dreams and to just dismiss their idealism as impractical. They want to be taken seriously. They want to be respected. Now, last week at Walmart, and I don't know what happened with that little boy. He was about this tall. But it looked like his grandfather was so upset when we were coming out, and their car was like one car over from mine. His grandfather was yelling at him so loud. You could have been down at Office Max and heard the granddaddy fussing at him. He got in the car and he slammed the door and he was yelling and he said, don't even look at me. And I'm like, whatever he did, even if he stole a candy bar, you know, you don't have to, you know, disrespect like that. You know, there is a way to express anger, amen, that still offers a person a sense of a dignity. And so I just start praying, oh, God, help him to calm down and help that little boy not to melt, you know, his spirit too bad. But even when we make mistakes, it's good when people still give us dignity and respect us. Amen. So children still want respect. I've seen a parent in the grocery store cussing out. I mean, the little ones aren't this tall. I don't even know if they could talk or walk, but they're just cussing them out and just, you know, maybe they picked up a piece of candy and they got called every name. Oh, it's like, come on, parents. All right, we must respect our children. Amen. They deserve our love and respect. So the principle of respect is mutual. And I want us to ask today, if children and parents and grandparents, what if we had this common vision of working for the kingdom of God together on this earth instead of discounting each other? What if we respected each other for what each group had to offer? You know what, saints? I think it would almost be like the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. As we sang today, that the Spirit would just pour down, amen, on all of us, men, women, parents, children, young, old, slave, free. There's no distinction. It just fell down on all of God's people because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine us respecting each other, working together, standing together, building the kingdom of God? That is just so awesome, isn't it? Amen. So I want us to take a moment right now, and you can celebrate respect along with me by clapping your hands. If you want to, you can jump to your feet, and you can dance with the family member right next to you. Hallelujah. And just celebrate respecting each other, working together, building the kingdom of God. Be blessed, and you can clap and jump up if you want to. With one another. Now, if you would look at your notes and see how we grow relationally at home. What's the first way that we can grow? Spend quality time with your children and grandchildren. And there's so many creative ways, amen, that we can do that. As many ways as there are families, but we need to spend that time. Because that's the most precious gift, ourselves and our time. Amen? Amen. And what's the next? Do something. Amen. Do something special. From a little collage project to going on a trip. Be creative, but do something special with your children, grandchildren. It could be something as simple as having a burping, belching contest. All right now. Just something fun. All right, amen. I always lost because Anita was a great belcher. Out of as little as she was, I don't know how she did it. But just fun. Just have fun. Memories that you'll never forget. And then what else we need to do? Pray together. What does it say? The family that prays together? stay together. Your children need to see you, hear you praying for them, with them, teaching them that it's the Lord that sees us through. We don't have enough power in ourselves, but God does. God's got all power and authority. And they see it. We can't just say, go in there and say your prayers. We need to pray with them. Amen. And pray for them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Over at New Life Fellowship, we used to break in groups. And I don't know if they still do that now. But we break it. That's how we did the pastoral prayer, like little groups of four. And the children was over there praying like mighty warriors. Amen. Mighty warriors. Children need to learn how to pray. And then what's the next? We need to eat together. I am surprised at how many families do not eat together. One is eating in the living room. The other one's upstairs in their bedroom. Another is in the basement. We need to have a time. When at all possible, all of us sit down at the table. That's how we get to know each other. To discuss what happened in your life today. How you feeling? What are your plans? What are you thinking? And we miss so much by not eating together. Just something so simple, breaking bread together. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, what's the next? We need to talk to each other. Praise God. We need to talk with each other. How else will we know each other's hearts? How will we know if we don't talk to each other and listen? Amen. We got to listen. Saints, families can live in the same house and never see each other. It's amazing. It is amazing. But parents, you know, before long, before you know it, before you blink your eye, they'll be gone. You'll wonder, where did the time go? Oh, how many empty nesters we have already? All right, some of us, we're there. All right, some of us, the ones with children still in the home, raise your hand. All right, praise God. So hear us today. Time goes fast. The ones with little ones, all the way up, take as many pictures as you can. Because next week they're going to look different. It's unbelievable. Where does the time go? Since it goes so fast, we got to spend that quality time. We got to do something together. We got to pray together. We got to eat together, talk together, loving one another, encouraging one another, praying with one another, being kind to one another, forgiving one another, bearing with one another, accepting one another. Saints, in life, time waits for no one. It keeps on moving. It waits for no one. And life does not have a rewind button. Oh, there's been so many times in my life I wish there had been a rewind button. If only there had been. But there isn't. There is no rewind button. So we must seek to get it as right as we can. Amen. And we've made a lot of mistakes. From this point forward, as right as we can. Now, Patrick Morley, he writes that as a young businessman, he always made it a habit to ask older men their regrets. And at the top of the list was, I was so busy trying to improve my family's standard of living that before I knew it, my children were gone. They were grown and gone, and I never got to know them. Now they are too busy for me. Now I wanted to take a moment and look at one more video clip. This is a song that was written by Harry and Sandy Chapman. And I want us to listen to the words and to allow the Spirit to speak to your heart as you listen.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy still on the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man I just had. Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is the bar of the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. Tired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy, just like me. And the cat cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when to get there. Dad, we're gonna hit that.
We both had to. I'm there again. I'm not there again. And if I had a rewind, the push would have been there. I don't know if I'm with some regrets. Be to God. But it's a fast or no other. In the hour, even he's just going to make the God friend. Help hold the through. This comment. I hope you may know, Lord, your family did here. Repent your dinner. And must you prove to the strong one. And with Lord, by the last life, Jesus. And all of God's thankful and joyful saints join together to say, amen. Hallelujah.